Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Ryan Elke and Danica Halen in our Motor City studio. Anthony Bellino coming to you from the radio bunker and joining us on the horn right now. His name is David Klein. He runs the website SpartanHoops.com. You can find him on Twitter at SpartanHoops_DK. David, my friend, first and foremost, thanks for taking the time to join us today. You were thrown onto my radar. You're like, hey, you got to get this guy on the show. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to reach out to this guy. And boom, here you are. So thanks for taking the time, man. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I wish we were here under better circumstances for the season, but excited to be talking about Michigan State hoops as always.
So real quick, just a background on yourself, man. How did you get started in basically doing this, for Spartan fans all across the state of Michigan and, obviously all across the world now that, the internet's available. If you're interested in Michigan State hoops, they can go to your site, they can go to your Twitter, and they can find, video breakdown of games. They find quality analysis of games. If you're watching the game on Tuesday night there against Purdue in Mackey, and it's like, okay, well, I'm watching the game, but what am I seeing? And for you to be able to kind of provide that outlet for the Spartan fan base to be able to get a better grasp of what's actually happening out there.
Yeah, so I started, just the love of the game, obviously, from the beginning. I played high school hoops. I could have gone somewhere a little smaller, Division II, but I ended up going to Michigan State and obviously just fell in love with the program up there and coached some high school hoops at my alma mater at Grosse Pointe North. I did that for about 6 years, and then this kind of evolved into a passion project, something that I wanted to do. Got on a Twitter and just saw some videos, analysis, just reaction, post-game reaction stuff, and I started doing a little bit of that, and it really just kind of evolved out of a passion for Michigan State hoops and wanting to provide a little bit more coverage that I didn't think was quite out there.
It was awesome, and you definitely filled a void for the Spartan fans because I heard it from two different people in two different locations on the same exact day. Like, dude, reach out to this guy, and I said, "All right, I'll reach out. We'll talk a little Sparty because my boys, Juwan Howard and company, my boys are taking care of business right now. But as for Michigan
State,
it's a great time. But as for Michigan State, when we started the season off, I was like, okay, you beat Eastern Michigan, you're supposed to. You beat Notre Dame, all right. You beat Duke, and then later on they would beat Western Michigan. They would beat Detroit, they would beat Oakland. They had already won three conferences 6 games in. They had won the MAC. They won the Horizon League. They won the ACC. You were feeling really good. And then all of a sudden, Northwestern happens. It's a road game, and it's the opener of Big Ten play, and it began a 3-game slide of conference action between Northwestern, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. And when the Northwestern loss happened, it was like, okay, like maybe, all right, maybe it's a fluke, who knows? But then after that game at Minnesota, in which they got trounced 81-56 a couple months ago, it was like, wait a minute, Michigan State might actually have an issue here.
Yeah, I think we saw some signs at the beginning in the Detroit game, in the Western Michigan game, in the Oakland game, letting teams hang around for a little too long, playing down to the opponent. And obviously the concern started setting in, and then really, the Northwestern game didn't look necessarily like a terrible loss to begin the season, given the way that Northwestern started. But now they've kind of bottomed out again, and we're running to a situation where clearly, back end of the conference haven't been there in a long time under Tom Izzo. And so, a little panic, I think, setting in to some degree for the fans, but I've been trying to be my best psychotherapist, the best I can on Twitter, and just generally calm them, given what's coming into the class next year with at least 3 known recruits. Really exciting class, and I think that some of what's missing this year, some of the shot creation, some of the shot-making ability, is going to be able to be filled by some of these kids coming in, Max Christie, Jaden Akins, and Pierre Brooks II. So although it's been, a very odd season and people have been a little bit disgruntled just generally with the staff and how this year has gone, I do think there are, better things on the horizon for Spartan fans. And, we've taken on the chin a lot, particularly for football season recently. And so, to have the stability of basketball season ripped away from us, I think that that's probably been the most confusing thing for Spartan fans.
As I sit here with a Chris Webber jersey hanging behind me, I feel like Spartan basketball fan has turned into Michigan football fan. Like the sky is falling. It's doom and gloom, death, doom, and despair. I would, even for Ryan in the studio, he tends to be pretty rational, right? We get his reaction after every game, because he's a diehard Sparty as well. And it's like, it's okay. Take a deep breath. You can have a down year after a run of, you know, 20 plus years of success. Like, it's bound to happen eventually. You mentioned the recruiting class coming in, but the way that the Michigan State fan base has kind of handled this, you know, the shocking 10-9 overall record and 4-9 in conference play, it just hasn't been great. You know, it's like the Chicken Little, the sky is falling.
Yeah, and I get it. You know, I think that the way that 2020 went for everybody, it was just a really tough year. You know, you see the ability for this team rounding into form with Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman, potential maybe back-to-back Final Four run that's stripped from Michigan State. I really believe they were one of maybe 6 to 8 teams that could have possibly cut down the nets last year. They don't get the chance to do that because of COVID, and now this year kind of implodes pretty early on in the season. So I think it's a combination of just not being able to get to see that, losing out on a generational type point guard on the offensive end. And then defensively, I mean, Xavier Tillman was probably one of the most underrated bigs that have ever come under the Izzo era. You're seeing that now, that impact felt for the Memphis Grizzlies. And really, you know, you lost two major pieces on both ends. I just have always assumed that Izzo was going to figure that out. And we haven't quite seen it this year. And the two positions that have been lacking the most have really been the 1 and the 5. And we've run into a situation where there's really not been a clear answer throughout the season. And as a result, I think you're seeing the product, unfortunately, suffer on the floor.
You know, yesterday morning, I had mentioned that, you know, when you look at where Michigan State is at with Jaren Jackson Jr., Miles Bridges, Cassius Winston, Xavier Tillman, all getting NBA deals. And you look at the loss of Tillman, as you just mentioned, and Cassius Winston. I guess no one's ever really prepared, because from the Michigan standpoint, it was like, okay, we're going to lose, you know, Xavier Simpson, but we have Eli Brooks, and we've got this kid, Mike Smith, who's a graduate from Columbia coming over. So we should be okay in that position. Like, it felt like there was going to be a smooth transition. That, to me, is maybe the biggest, most shocking part about all of this, is there hasn't been that player that Cassius Winston said, okay, I'm done here now. Here's the torch. You carry it at this position. Point guard is just a mess right now.
Yeah, and I think that it probably dates back to how the staff handled the point guard situation end of last year. You looked ahead. You knew Cassius Winston was graduating. You know, Foster Lawyer has never really shown to be a guy, particularly in conference play, that you could comfortably rely on to give you necessary production at the Big Ten level. And Rocket Watts was really that guy. He got extremely hot at the end of last year. He was averaging just under 18 points per game the last 4. You would hope that he kind of would have been that guy to get tapped in, but the staff didn't really give him opportunity at the end of last season to be able to run those backup point guard minutes. Foster Lawyer was still continuing to get those late into the season. He looked particularly uncomfortable doing that for most of the season. And so we ran into a situation where a lot of the eggs were in the Kareem Mané basket. He was a French-Canadian kid who ended up choosing to go pro. He didn't get drafted. And it was a 50-50 coin flip. There was a lot of chatter that maybe Michigan State was going to land him. When they missed on him, it was kind of late in the cycle. They didn't have the ability to really grab a quality grad transfer point guard. And so we were left kind of this offseason just saying, well, Rocket Watts has to be the guy, clearly, right? And we got closer to the season. All the chatter coming from the program is that Foster Lawyer was taking great strides. There was nothing discussed about Rocket Watts. And I was a little bit confused about that, because here's a guy who's transitioning to a brand new role. He absolutely, you know, deserved and needed some public support, in my opinion. And, you know, to start the season with Foster as the point guard before transitioning to Watts, I just think from the very get-go, the staff really didn't do a good job of setting up Rocket for success. I think they have really done their best to try to figure out his role this year. They've played him at the 1. They've played him at the 2. You know, he asked to move away from the point guard spot, and they've obliged. And it just hasn't really worked for him. You know, he's had a really rough season. And as a result, you know, without some of the production that we thought we were going to get from him as he finished last season, the whole thing is just kind of unwoven. And so it really starts, obviously, with point guard play, you know, for Tom Izzo teams over the years. And this year, they just haven't quite gotten that figured out.
David Klein joining us right now. You can find him on Twitter at SpartanHoops_DK. Find the website SpartanHoops.com. That's SpartanHoops.com for quality coverage of Michigan State basketball. And David, my friend, you know, we move away from the point guard position. I was watching one of the early possessions. It was like 16-10, right? And there were like 58 passes on one possession for Michigan State. I think they had like two or three shots blocked. And it was like, oh my God, you know, for the love of God. And all I could think about was Ryan in the studio right now. And the guy had to just be pulling his hair out because it was like nothing was working. Purdue was locked in defensively. They get a couple blocks. Eventually Michigan State scores a bucket on that play. But it was like, to me, that was a synopsis of the entire season. Like they have, you put so much in and so much effort in on one single possession just to get a bucket and it was ugly, right? It like that to me was like, hey, this is Michigan State basketball in 2020, 2021.
That's so true. I know the exact play you're talking about. The two block shots in Langford end up with a layup, I think, late in the shot clock.
Yep.
But yeah, it's been a real struggle across the board for fans. And, you know, we just haven't been able to get it together. I think some of it is roster construction flaws. You know, there hasn't really been a primary option. I think Aaron Henry, you know, has really been underrated this season, given, you know, what he's been asked to do, a little bit of everything, rebound, pass the ball, score points for this team. You know, he's been really the one sole consistency throughout the entire season. Joey Hauser has had his struggles. The center spot has really been a mess, and to a certain degree, the staff has, you know, just not been able to settle on two guys to kind of round out that center spot. And that's kind of been some of the frustration with the fan base as well. We've seen four guys play sporadic minutes throughout the whole season. You know, Thomas Kithier gets the start from the get-go. Again, we run into a situation where maybe some of the higher upside guys in the roster, Marcus Bingham Jr., Julius Marble, you know, even a Matty Sissoko, who's a little bit raw, but definitely has all the physical tools, and not getting some early run. We get into conference play. Obviously, there's, you know, a condensed non-conference schedule, not really much of an off season, and we run into a situation where that spot really has never got figured out either. So, you know, the two most important positions in college basketball are the point guard spot and center, and Michigan State hasn't had stability really at any of those positions. And some of the complementary pieces that may have fallen into line had that got figured out have unfortunately just not. And so, you know, we're missing some of the shot making, like I said, missing some guys being able to just hit some shots and relieve some of the pressure. And, you know, I think that there's hope on the way. I really am excited about the class coming in. I think that we're going to see this turn around pretty quickly. Basketball in particular, when you land this type of class that Michigan State has, it can really be a breath of fresh air, and I think we see it this next season. So for all my Spartan fans that are really just down in the dumps about this, just hang in there. We only got a few games left. We're going to have a big off season. I think we're going to see some life get inserted into the program for some of this young talent coming in.
David Klein at SpartanHoops.com on the horn with us right now here on X's and Bros. And David, were you surprised at all at how Michigan State, especially in the second half there, decided that they were going to try to, in late stages of the second half, defend the post and how they kind of used their bigs against a Travion Williams who, you know, finished with 28 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. He was 13 of 21 from the field. He struggles at the free throw line. Eventually, maybe one day he'll improve, but who knows. But were you surprised at all at how Izzo decided to attack the interior game of Purdue?
I thought it was a little bit tough. You know, the first half, Julius Marble actually played pretty well individually on him. Obviously, the first time around that we played them, we finished the game with, I think, Joey Hauser for the most part on Travion Williams, which was kind of a perplexing decision by the staff. He obviously hits that shot late. There's no real shot blocker in the game or somebody to deter that. And we kind of saw it a little bit again down the end of the stretch. Marble had a really nice run, scored 10 points in the second half. And then he was a little bit gassed. He came out with a banged-up knee. And Thomas Kithier ended up playing, you know, a 6-7-minute stretch there. And I think they just stuck with him a little bit too long. Williams got a little bit comfortable again in that post. I would have liked to see them maybe throw a double or two. I don't have it up in front of me, but I want to say they went somewhere around 3 for 12 or something like that from the three-point line. They didn't take very many, and they didn't hit very many. I think the stretch of threes that they hit was maybe all in the second half or maybe one in the first and a couple in the second quickly. So they weren't shooting the ball particularly well, so I would have liked to maybe get the ball out of Williams' hands a little bit more towards the end of the stretch, live with them taking a couple threes and see what happens. But overall, I think really what killed them was the late-game execution, particularly offensively. They had 5 turnovers in the entire first half. They finished with 5 turnovers under 5 minutes in the second half. I mean, it's just really tough when you don't have that point guard play to be able to study the rotation. Late game execution is going to be a problem. And I think even more so than the defensive side of the ball, the turnovers late ended up costing them the game.
Yeah, it was Joey Hauser with three consecutive turnovers is what it felt like. And at that point, you feel bad for the young man because it's like, I mean, for the love of God, you know, ball security is priority number one right now. And at that point, they were within striking distance at 2 minutes to go. You're only down 5. You're not out, you know, you're not dead in the water just yet. As we look forward to, and you were right, by the way, 3 of 12 from 3 for Purdue for the ball game for 25%, not exactly shooting the lights out. As we look forward to Michigan State in the rest of this 2021 campaign, their next game up, they're going to be on the road against Iowa. Then they have Illinois at home, who's ranked number 5 right now. Ohio State at home, who's ranked number 4. A road game to Maryland, and then a home game against number 3, Michigan. At least if you're going to have to play 3 teams all in the top 5, you know, at least you get to play them all at home. But this is going to be a brutal stretch to close the season, and it looks like Michigan State's going to have to play on day 1 of the Big Ten tournament. So it's not as if they're out of the, like, they're not out of everything just yet. I mean, a bubble consideration probably done, but hey, you mess around and get weird in the tournament and win the thing, you still punch your ticket. So they're not dead just yet.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure winning 5 games in 5 days. I think they go on the road to Indiana this next one because they played Iowa, unfortunately, twice already, and that has not ended well for them. So they go on the road to Indiana. I think they return home after that to play Ohio State, who's playing as well as anyone in the conference. So it's a really tough slate. I mean, this year, if you look around the country, the Big Ten is clearly top to bottom the toughest league. I think the Big 12 is obviously up there as well. If they were in a different conference, if this was the ACC, the Pac-12, they could have gotten away with maybe being a little bit, you know, struggling or having not quite as much talent on the roster as we've typically seen with them. But this team and this year and this conference, it's just been a dogfight. And you look around and every single night there's some team that is upsetting somebody else. You know, Penn State beats Wisconsin. Maryland's gone on the road and beaten Illinois. So there's just a bunch of the bottom teams are still really fighting and beating some of the better teams. It's been a complete dogfight throughout the entire conference. And Michigan State just didn't get any breaks in the schedule. So do I have, you know, hope that they can win 5 games in 5 days? I think that probably that's a little bit too much to ask at this point in the season. But I do think that there's some, you know, certain bright points that can be taken away. I think A.J. Hogard continuing to get, you know, the maximum amount of run at the point guard spot. Seeing maybe him stick with a center or two going forward. Building on a couple guys, Gabe Brown in particular, that I'd like to see get going before the end of the year. There's some bright spots that can still be taken away, and that's basically what I'm going to be doing, you know, these next games. Win or lose, I'm going to be trying to find some of the silver linings. What can we build on? Looking ahead to insert some of the young talent around what's going to be on the roster for next year.
He is David Klein. You can find him on Twitter at SpartanHoops_DK. Find his work. Find the website, SpartanHoops.com, SpartanHoops.com. David, my friend, DK, we appreciate you, brother. Thanks so much for joining us. Let's do this again soon.
Sounds great, Anthony. Thank you so much for your time.